Say, that's my life story. Is it really though? Come on. Isn't that everybody's life story? Ups and downs. We're going to look at the story of Joseph. Joseph's life, not only in the Bible, but I think in all literature, is one of the most amazing stories in all of history. Joseph was a couple thousand years after. If we look at the creation of man about 4,000 years ago, I'm not even going to get into the argument of old earth, new earth. I'm just telling you that we biblically probably believe that man was created by God about 4,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, Joseph's on the scene. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Jacob's name's changed to Israel. You got the 12 tribes of Israel, and you have his son Joseph. Now, if any of you have read the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you could just stamp dysfunction over their entire family. Come on, deception, dysfunction, lies, craziness. How many of you guys know the Bible is not boring? There are crazy stories in the Bible. People read it like, that's boring. I'm like, oh man, let me show you some stuff. You should read this. It's like Jerry Springer on steroids, like for real. It's like, wow. Jesus, open our ears to hear your word. Lord, not just this morning, but throughout this series, would you give us wisdom and insight? Lord, I pray you put a dream in every single one of our hearts that we would not let the enemy come and steal. We would not let circumstances, we would not let anything that happens in life deter us from serving you and loving you and walking with you. We would not allow our own choices to derail us. We would not allow the enemies or even other people's voices to derail us from what you're doing and saying in Jesus' name. Amen? Joseph, we're going to pick it up in Genesis 37, starting in verse 2. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report. Everybody say a bad report. Bad report. He brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was born to him in his old age and he made an ornament robe or a coat of many colors depending on the version of the Bible you're reading. Verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain. And everybody remember sheaves of grain. We're going to come back to that. It's an important part of the story. We were binding sheaves of grain out in a field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while yours gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told his brothers, listen, I had another dream. At this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you've had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him. Everybody say jealous. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. The dysfunction of this family is mind-boggling and unbelievable. Though you and I can learn valuable lessons about our immediate family and the family of God of how to treat people and how to use wisdom when God is showing us things. Amen? So 17 years old, he was daddy's favorite. Bottom line is he was daddy's favorite. So when Jacob, Israel gives him this coat, you guys need to understand what he was saying as he had one younger brother. He was the youngest of brothers, then Benjamin came along. His dad gives him this coat of many colors. It wasn't just a coat of favor, but it was a coat of birthright. So basically, here's what Dad said. I give you this coat. You now get the rights of the firstborn. How many of you guys know all the older brothers just got ticked off? right? I don't think they cared spiritually about it. As we read the context of the story, I don't think they cared about the spiritual part of it. They cared about the financial part of it. We see that as the story unfolds. Again, there's something about Joseph. I'm just asking God for wisdom and insight. We know that all of these kids would have grown up with the law and some understanding, but there was something in Joseph that I marvel at. When he's 17, he was lacking some wisdom. How many of you guys know if you have a dream and it probably is going to offend somebody, you might want to get some wisdom on what you say. Right? Like, I don't know the level of where Joseph was at, but I have a feeling he was spoiled from the time he was a little kid. They knew it, and they already hated him. This is where I'm kind of tripping on Jacob a little bit. I'm like, Jacob, you've been doing this since this kid was born. You've been giving him favor. His brothers already hated him. Then you give him this robe, right? Now they hate him even more. Three times in the story, the word hate is used about people and their brothers. How many of you guys know that's the enemy's plan? The enemy wants to divide your family, including the body of Christ. It's what his plan is. He just loves to do it. So, you know, look, if you guys have dreams and they're going to maybe offend some people, get some counsel and wisdom from somebody on how you might share that dream. Amen? If any of you have a dream, I remember kids coming up to me, Pastor, I had a dream. I'm going to pastor this church one day. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. You got any plan for that? Or is it just? How many of you guys know? It's okay to have a dream, but you might want to use some wisdom. So he downloads one dream about his brothers bowing down. Very interesting in this dream. He said, I had a dream, and we were out in the field, and we were binding sheaves of grain. 22 years later, it was grain that saved his family's life. 22 years later, it's the grain that he dreamed about that actually saved his brother's life and his father and his family. Actually, it also saved the lineage of Jesus Christ. His brother Judah was the line of Messiah. Judah was not such a nice guy. Judah's the one that decided to throw him into a pit, wanted to kill him, then sell him. So as we break this series down a little bit, I want to bring a few points out. I want to read something that James Boyce said. He said, Joseph, being 17 years old, thus begins one of the most remarkable stories in the Bible and all literature. And here's some of the ways he was like Jesus. He was loved and hated. He was favored and abused. He was tempted and trusted. He was exalted and abased. Yet at no point in the 110 years of Joseph's life did he ever seem to get his eyes off of God or cease to trust him. Adversity did not harden his character. Prosperity did not ruin him. He was the same in private as in public. He was truly a great man. As we unfold these next number of chapters and look at Joseph's life, there was something of God in that young man that just makes me jealous. He does things in secret that nobody would know about, to walk in uprightness and integrity, that I think God released that and help us to live that way. Amen? Jacob and Esau and Rebekah. A little history on Jacob and the dysfunction of his family. How many of you guys know Jacob was a deceiver? How many of you guys remember he stole his brother's birthright? Remember when his brother's starving? Right? He's a conniver, right? He's like, hey, man, I know you're going to die if you don't eat some soup right now. How many of you guys know that's not true? But he took advantage of it and he said, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll make you some soup, some stew, and I'm going to give it to you. All you got to do is give me your birthright. Now, to us in our culture, we don't think birthright's a big deal. We're like, whatever that means. In the culture, the birthright of the firstborn was a really big deal. And he sells it out. Now, Rebekah gets involved. And I got to be honest with Jacob, because Jacob was deceived in his first wife. Remember, Rebekah and Leah? Leah? If you don't know the story, right? Jacob loved Rebekah, wanted to marry her. And dad deceived and he did the wife swap. I don't mean with his permission. I mean snuck her in the night of his wedding. I don't even want to go down this road too far. How do you not know that? Come on. Come on, guys. The girl you've been loving for a long years. He had a serve for years. And then all of a sudden, it's literally honeymoon night. And pops switches. And somehow, it was really dark in the desert. I don't even know what to say, man. It just trips me out. I'm like, really? Like, dude. The sad thing is, the dysfunction of this family just continues on and on. Jacob, as Isaac is dying, listens to his mom to connive another plan to deceive. And ironically, it is goat skin. And we're going to read this in a minute. It's goat skin that she puts on his arm to deceive pops that this son is really not. So not only does he get the birthright, but he gets the blessing. Everybody say blessing. It's a big deal. So as we unwind these stories, just know this. This isn't just one amazing kid. This is a family of dysfunction. You guys, we got to be honest. This whole weird thing in Christianity where supposedly you become a Christian and now there's no dysfunction or we don't talk about our secret stuff, that's what was killing this family. It was killing this family. You guys know God's plan was never to have brothers hating each other. You guys know Jacob was messed up because he got it generationally. We talk about generational curses. You can cast demons out all day long, but you better rewire your thinking if you want to break generational curses. Because guess what? Jacob was a good man, but he didn't get some of that hardwired that he believed to be this deceiver and being unfair. He's had that his whole life. Church, if that's been a pattern of your family's life and you see it in you a little bit, get help, get into discipleship, get into counsel, get wisdom. You can break those things. I'm breaking off family, literally I'm breaking off family lies that have been in my brain my entire life. In this last year or two, I am consciously making an effort to break those things off. I am not going to act that way or live that way anymore. Amen. Well, that's just how it was. I know, but it doesn't have to be that way, amen? Right. Joseph is living proof of that. So as we continue in this story, just know that birthright and blessing is a big deal. How many of you guys know as Christian we have a birthright called born again? How many of you guys know that leads to amazing blessing? But if you and I are stuck in the entanglement of the past, we miss a lot of the blessing of the Lord. Hear me very carefully. Many belief systems that I've had that have caused me to act certain ways, I believe hinders my relationship with Papa, which ultimately hinders my relationship with people, which ultimately hinders His amazing kingdom being poured out to the fullness. I want the fullness. Amen. I don't want half of it. I want the whole thing. And you and I bear responsibility. Joseph was able to walk this out. I'm going to say this through this series. I still don't know how. We're going to look at it a lot. He amazes my heart. This is what I know. God, help me. Let me see. When deception's been handed down generationally, whether it's in my immediate family or the church family. Oops. Did I say church? I can tell you right now, many of you in this room have been so hurt by the church, it's a miracle you're sitting in here right now. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to redeem every lie and pain that has happened. Whether it was purposed or not purposed, I think Jacob had just been stuck so long in belief systems. I don't think he really even understood much anymore. I think he just lived it that way. And he just favored this one kid, and it brought destruction to his family. Many of you feel like your brother or sister was the favorite one. Rarely do I talk to anybody. I mean, once in a while, it's funny to me. I'll talk to siblings all the time, and they're like, oh, yeah, I was definitely not my parents' favorite. And then you talk to their sibling, they were my parents' favorite. And you're like, they think you were the golden child. Oh, my God. I just create more havoc in families. I'm gonna let you guys hash that out, you guys. Listen, favoritism will always release conflict. Put that in your notes if you're taking notes. Favoritism will always lead to conflict. Sometimes, whether you're a boss or a father or mother or a brother or sister, you better get the wisdom of the Lord about favoritism. There's this fine line. Jesus talks about it in the New Testament all the time. Don't show favoritism. Why? Because favoritism always leads to conflict. Church, this is for real. His brothers hated. Now, when we say hate, we're like, yeah, well, I kind of hate my brother. Yeah, but not to the point you're going to kill him. Some of you are like, I've repented since then, Pastor, but truth be told. I'm trying to help paint a picture of the dysfunction of the patriarchs of the Bible. These are key leaders that God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. Church, they are as dysfunctional as the day is long. Yet we live in a culture, we don't want to talk about family dysfunction and generation. I got saved, Jesus fixed it all. Amen. No, he didn't. Ask your kids, they'll tell you the truth if you let them. They'll preface, though, they're like, well, if I answer this honestly, Dad, does this mean I have to move out of the house? No. Pack your bags. How many of you guys know we don't like to hear it? Can I tell you why we don't like to hear it? Because we've been hurt by it. Everyone in this room has been hurt by these things at some level. And so we don't want to go there. I don't really want to go there. We talk about it a lot here. Church, the key to this story in my heart and mind is trying to keep your heart pure and right and do what's right, even when the enemy's slipping stuff in behind the scenes, whether it's in front of your brothers or whether it's in secret when a woman's seducing you and trying to steal. We better learn how to get out of the hidden closets that we live in and ask Jesus to set us free. Amen? So this family continues to move in dysfunction. The sheaves of wheat are amazing how the dream God gives him, he actually uses to save him. As we look at this next section, I'm just going to preface it for you. The next number of verses, his dad sends, and this is very close to the time that he had this dream. I think, Jacob, I love you, but you're lacking wisdom. How many of you guys know Pops knew his older brothers hated younger brother? How many of you guys know it was very evident? Now he sends Joseph 13 miles away. And he says, look, your brothers are tending the sheep. You go there and find out how it's going. Well, he already brought a bad report a minute ago, which brought more hate. And now you're sending him after these two dreams that made them even matter. Now you're sending him by himself as your favorite child to go into the den of hatred. How many of you guys know we better help rescue each other sometimes? Some of these young kids, I love these young kids, but there's times I have to try to speak wisdom because they don't even realize that they're walking into a den of deception and pain. Amen. How many of you guys, come on, moms, and we've done it. Oh, yeah. Didn't really realize. We didn't know. We were just like, no, it's cool. Everybody does it. It's no big deal. No, it's a big deal because some of us lived it later when we were in bondage. So he goes and he finds his brothers. And the Bible says when they saw him afar, they hated, and they devised a plan. And they said, look, there's that dreamer coming. Here's the next words out of their mouth. Let's kill him. Really? That much pain? I mean, you guys, when it says kill, it's not a metaphor. This is for real. It blows my mind. These are the brothers in a family. They saw this kid coming. And the dream is still real in their heart because that's what they mention. They go, here comes the dreamer. You know why they're mad? He gets all the privilege. He thinks he's something. Let's kill him. The number one born, Reuben, who should have had the birthright. I got to give Reuben credit. Reuben, who is truly the firstborn, who should have had all of the rights. When the brothers devised this plan, he said, no. Let's not kill him. I believe Reuben wanted to take him back to dad, to try to get some favor with dad. How many of you guys have ever tried to do something to get some favor with dad? How many of you guys, it never worked? Do you know if your dad's not willing to get healthy, then you can do stuff all day long and it won't matter? When I was a kid, I grew up in a non-Christian house. My mom and dad were busy all the time, and our house was a bit messy. I am honoring my mother and father who are sitting with Jesus right now. Our house was a bit messy. So when my parents would go somewhere, I didn't even consciously understand why I did it until years later of getting saved and getting into counseling. I would like power clean the house, like kitchen, rooms, everything. They would come home and it was like amazing. And they would come home and go, wow, house is really clean. I didn't want just a wow. What I really wanted was acceptance. What I really wanted was my dad to go, man, son, that is, you're such a good son. But he couldn't do it. Jacob couldn't do it. He didn't have it in him. And so he sends his son, and the sons are so embittered, they throw him into a pit. Reuben's wanting to save him, probably for selfish reasons, to get back into good graces and maybe get number one sonship back. How many of you guys know there's a lot of dysfunction games going on in the body of Christ and in our personal families? Just true. So they see this slave train coming. Reuben's back out with the sheep. They sell him into slavery for 20 shekels of silver. Hey, why kill him when we can make some money? You guys are so kind. So they sell Joseph into slavery. Reuben comes back and he's been taken out of the pit and he rips his clothes and he cries out. And then they say, look, we're going to take this coat. Everybody say the coat. The thing that reminded their brothers every single day that this little brother had favor was this coat. You guys know Joseph just told him a dream, right? He could have let... Now, this coat, in the Hebrew, this probably meant full length. This isn't just your normal daily wearing outer garment. This would have been a special robe that showed priestly, right, favor and firstborn rights. Probably full length down to the ground. Probably not what you would travel in if you're traveling in the desert. I'm just saying, I think Joseph, don't know this to be a fact, but I just think the way he just shared these dreams, 17 years old, I can remember, I think he just wore that coat. He's like, I'll go see him. He's walking 13 miles in the desert, but I think he's like, they're going to see me in my coat. What up, brothers? What he doesn't know is his brother saw him a long way off with his coat and said, oh, we got a plan for you and your coat. And they killed him. I mean, not, how many of you guys know? They killed him. How many of you guys know they've been killing their brother for years? Catch the connection. You and I don't think we're killing somebody because we didn't actually kill him. And I'm telling you the words that Jesus said. You've heard it said, don't murder. But I tell you the truth. If there is anger in your heart towards your brother, you've already sinned. I'm telling you, they've been killing him for a long time. I submit to that you and I have some things in our hearts that we might be killing some people. We just don't want to really, well, I'm not really doing it. I don't really say it much. If it's in your heart, let's get it out. I had anger in my heart for my brother for many years as a Christian. I never said anything to anybody. But I wasn't blessing him. I was blessing him. You guys know there's a difference. They take this coat. Ironically, they kill a goat. Remember what Jacob had to do to deceive Isaac? He had to kill a goat and put some goat skin on his arms. You guys remember the story? His mama said, you go in there and do that. Once again, not to be funny, but I'm thinking, bro, you got married and didn't know. Now you're old and you don't know the like goat skin or human skin. Like, come on, can we laugh sometimes about this stuff? It's weird. If somebody puts some goat skin on their arm, you're like, oh yeah, that's you. Wouldn't it be like moving and rolling? I don't know. It's just, I know some of you don't think like this. It's just weird to me. All I'm saying is the parallels of repeating the same dysfunction. Jesus died so we don't have to. Joseph is a type and shadow of Christ that blows my mind. In the midst of a family of dysfunction and hatred, he was willing to hang on to God. He's sold into slavery. His brothers kill a goat. They put blood on it. They go back, and now Dad is devastated. Dad goes into mourning and grieving, and he literally just starts going into sackcloth and ashes, and his family came to him on a regular basis trying to comfort him, and the Bible says he could not be comforted. I believe the reason that Jacob could not be comforted is he never had the comfort of God through all of the pain and the issues that he went through, and he had all of these sons, and he handed down the dysfunction. I tell you this morning, you guys, God has a dream for every single one of us in this room. He has a God dream for every single person sitting in the room. I don't care if you're the youngest person in this room. I don't care if you're the oldest person in this room. Because you're sitting in this room and breathing and living, God has a dream for your life beyond what you know. And I promise you, brothers and sisters will come against your dream. Family will come against your dream. Family will tell you what a joke your dream is. Family will be mad about telling about your dream. Family will try to steal it. The enemy will put a trap in front of you over and over and over again to try to steal the dream of God. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to try to connect dots with Joseph's heart to say, God, how on earth did this kid not walk in bitterness and hatred? How did this young man continue to walk in integrity when not only his brothers wanted to kill him and he didn't harden his heart, then he works for another family and he gets seduced and he doesn't do it, then he ends up in prison and guys don't even help him out then. And yet he keeps his eyes on God, so 22 years later, he could rescue his family. Are you willing to keep your dream alive for the next 22 years? Seriously, do you have a dream for friends and family and the kingdom of God in your heart? If you don't, my prayer this morning is God would release a dream in you. I don't think most Christians have a big God dream. I think we just kind of go to church, try to be a good Christian, read the Bible and be good. And I'm telling you, God wants to release a dream in your heart that would expand your belief system on how big he is, because usually our circumstances derail us from following through. Joseph is in a supreme example of how he did not let circumstances of his own personal family, of evil people, of, I believe, demonic attacks against his life. He never got off track. Never do we once see him cursing God. He just kept staying over and over and over again. Will you and I do that so that an entire generation might get saved? Seriously, would you and I start dreaming a God dream that would change the destiny and direction of entire generations? Let's pray this morning. Papa, we love you. Asking this morning, you touch every single heart, every single life. Lord, you are an amazing God. You're so kind. Lord, I pray you breathe hope into every family here. The dysfunction that we have in our families is not to derail us, but actually to strengthen us. Lord, the things that we go through, even though they're hard and devastating at times, you will walk with us if we allow you to. Joseph was able to hang on to you, Papa, every single time. I just marvel. I think, man, I couldn't do that. I would have given up a long time ago. This morning, I pray you breathe life right back into the hearts. Many of you this morning have had God dreams, and you've been derailed. I speak into your God dream. I speak into the destiny. I speak into the things that you've hoped and believed for, even in your family, and you haven't seen it yet. I speak into your life this morning. Dream again. Come on, dream again. Believe again. Well, Pastor, what is the key? Getting close to God's heart. It's the key. Somehow Joseph did it. You get close to God's heart, and you're going to watch your dream come to pass. You get close to his heart, and he's going to heal you of all the pain that you experienced in your dysfunctional family. So this morning, Papa, open the heavens. Touch every one of our hearts right now. I'm going to ask our prayer teams if they would come. And as they're coming this morning, some of you here would say, man, Pastor, I don't even know if I really know God. Well, I'm telling you, as we're praying right now, there is a Father who is so kind. He's nothing like any earthly father, whether you've had a great one or not very good one. And he has a dream for your life. And it's filled with love and joy and peace, destiny. There will be pains, there will be struggles, there will be battles, I promise you. For some of you that make a decision today, your family is going to come against you. For some of you that really choose to give your life to Jesus or rededicate your heart, your family, purposed or not, will come against you and it'll be an attack on your life. It will happen. But don't quit dreaming. Papa, I'm asking this morning for every single one of our hearts. As we're just praying, you guys, if you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus or I need to rededicate my life to him. Just put your hand up so I can pray with you. Just stick your hand up high. Say, yep, that's me. Yep. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Everybody just say this. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you died, that I could live. Today, I ask you to come into my heart and help me to have your dream that's full of love, that's full of life, that's full of peace. Forgive me for everything I've done. And I thank you that you took my place. And I receive your love this morning. Let's all stand together. If you need prayer this morning for anything, those of you that raised your hand, I want to encourage you to come. We want to pray with you guys. But you might just need prayer for anything. You might need it for your family, for sickness, for a job. Then I'm going to encourage you to come and receive prayer. And I just want to speak a prayer of blessing over every single one of you guys as we go today. Papa, we love you and thank you. I'm asking that you would release your spirit. Lord, I pray that this week you would give literal dreams. I'm asking, God, not just dreams of the heart, though I encourage that as well, but I'm asking that you actually give a bunch of people in this room literal dreams that they could say, wow, Pastor, you won't believe it. I actually had a dream this week. It was amazing. God reminded me of some things, or he showed me some things. And so, Papa, you bless, you give favor. As we go today, enrich every one of our lives. Let your goodness and kindness cover each one of us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, for those of you that need prayer, we want you to come. If you're new, come back after second service, 12:45. We want to serve you lunch and hang out with you. But for those of you that need prayer, please come and let us pray for you guys. Blessings on all of you.